I'm the guy who likes to review, and I always like to go back to chapter 1 and talk about kind of the overarching theme of Proverbs, the overarching goals of Proverbs, okay? That song we always sing, "The Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So what does the fear of the Lord have to do with? Well, I've talked about it several times before. It has to do with reverence, submitting, humility. Reverence is having a deep respect, okay? Submitting is accepting the authority of a person that's higher up than you. Obviously, God is higher up than all of us. And obviously, we should have a deep respect for God. Okay, and then humility is, I kind of define that as the opposite of bragging or pride or arrogance. Okay, humility is when you're not so full of yourself, okay? And then we talked about how being teachable was a very important attitude to approach Proverbs with. Being teachable, that means you know that you do have value as an individual, but the world doesn't revolve around you, and you can always learn and listen to somebody who's teaching you from the Word of God. So be ready to teach, be teachable, be ready to learn. Be wise enough to know that you don't know everything, and somebody else can maybe share some wisdom from God's Word with you. Okay? So that's kind of the overarching theme of Proverbs, is be teachable, be ready to learn, be ready to listen, okay? And be wise enough to know that you don't know everything. All right, and then Mr. Ryan and Mr. Brother Isaac Kyle, they've had some lessons too where they've talked about personification. Anybody remember what personification is? It's kind of a literary tool. Anybody remember that? It's kind of a big word. Okay. Wisdom has been described as a lady in some of our lessons, right? Okay. I remember back to one of Brother Isaac Kyle's lessons. It was a lady who was prepared for preparing a feast. Okay. And she invited everybody to come to the feast of wisdom. Okay? And in some of the other lessons, I remember Mr. Ryan had a lesson where wisdom was described as a lady who's not going to lead you down the right path. She's going to lead you down the path of folly or foolishness. Okay? And she's calling out and trying to entice folks to follow her bad path, her path that doesn't lead the way that God wants us to go. All right? And what happens if you don't follow God's path? There's the righteous way, there's God's way, the wise way, and then there's the foolish way, the way of folly, the way of destruction, the way of, the word I always like to use is consequences. There's going to be consequences for your decisions, especially if you make decisions that go against what God is trying to teach us. Okay, so that's another overarching theme of the whole book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs kind of spells out, this is the right way, this is God's way, this is going down the correct path, and your other choice is the wrong way, the foolish way, the dangerous and destructive way, and that's the wrong path, okay? So you always have choices, okay? And you guys are old enough to understand that. You know when you're choosing the correct way in most circumstances, and you know when you're choosing the bad way in most circumstances. Okay, so let's look at some of the Proverbs in chapter 10. The first nine chapters of Proverbs talked a lot about wisdom. Okay, like I said, personifying wisdom, advising for wisdom and against folly. But now we're getting to what some scholars would say the actual proper Proverbs, where it's just a quick here and there, line after line after line of quick Proverbs, okay? There's usually a wise way and contrasted with a foolish way, okay? So I'm going to be in chapter 10, and I'm going to read the first five verses of Proverbs, and these have to do with honest labor or work ethic. Anybody know what honest labor is or work ethic? What does work ethic mean? Anyone know? Well, I'll talk about it. Anna? Working happily. Working happily and working hard, okay? Honestly, you're not deceiving or cheating anybody. You're not trying to take advantage of anybody, but you're working honestly and you're working diligently. You're giving it your best shot, okay? Some of you may have jobs now, like maybe you cut somebody's grass, or maybe you shoveled snow, or maybe you have chores around your house that your family members have given you to do, to clean things up, like the kitchen or your room, okay? When you're given those tasks, you're supposed to have a work ethic and to do honest labor, to do that job the best you can, okay? Even if you're a youngster, even if you're in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, you can still do honest labor. And this is what the Bible's talking about here in chapter 10, the first five verses specifically in Proverbs, okay? So I'm going to read them, and then we'll talk about them, and then we'll kind of just skim through a lot of this chapter, because like I said, there's 32 verses, and I want to make sure I keep your attention and not put you to sleep, okay? So let's read 1 through 5. A wise son, or daughter, of course, makes a glad father, but a foolish son or daughter is a sorrow to his mother, okay? When you do what you're asked to do and you do it your best, boy, you make your parents proud. Or perhaps you live with your grandparents or whoever's your guardian who's in charge of you. When you do what they ask you to do and you do it your best, boy, it makes them feel proud. And I can say this as a dad. When I ask my son to do something and he does his best and he does it right, it makes me so proud. But a foolish daughter or son is a sorrow to his mother, okay? So if you just say, no, Dad, I'm not going to listen to you. No, Mom, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to do this thing that you asked me to do. I should do it. I should do it my best. But I'm just going to not listen to you. Boy, that breaks the heart of your mom and dad. It makes them sad, okay? And sometimes you might get a whooping or you might get grounded. But really, you've hurt them. You've broken their hearts when you disobey them, okay? Verse 2, treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. Verse 3, the Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. Verse 4, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. What does slack hand mean? If somebody says you're a slacker. Anybody ever heard that? You're a slacker. Well, a slacker is kind of a person who just kind of sits around on the rear end and doesn't do anything. They're not doing what they're supposed to do, and they're not working diligently, they're not putting in honest labor. They're just kind of, they got a case of laziness. They're lazy. All right? And the Bible says if you're a slacker, that's going to lead to poverty. What does poverty mean? That means you don't have anything. You don't have any money to buy food. Okay? You don't have any money to take care of your family. Okay, now money's not the most important thing in the world, but it is a tool that we can use. We can put it to good use. Okay? If you know an adult, perhaps it's your parents, or perhaps it's an aunt or uncle or whoever, they have a job, they go to work, they earn some money, okay? And they take that money and they do stuff with it. They might pay the electric bill, so you got lights in your house. Or they might go to Kroger's and buy yourself, your family, some food. Okay? But the Bible says in verse 4 here, a slack hand causes poverty. That means if you don't work, if you're not willing to work, you might go without. You might not have some of the necessities that you need. Okay? In verse 5, finally, he who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Okay, the Bible is always full of farming and agricultural illustrations. Okay, and that's another one there in verse 5. When it's time to harvest, when a farmer plants their crop and it's time to harvest, if they're lazy and don't want to get out and work and get their harvest and bring their harvest in of their crops, how are they going to have any crops to sell? Okay, say you're a farmer and you plant corn or you plant soybeans or you plant, you know, fill in the blank, wheat. Okay, you do all that work, you put all those seeds in the ground, God blesses you with rain and nice weather for growing, and then those crops are ready, and then you just sit there and go, wonder who's going to get the corn from the ground. I'm just going to sit here and kind of hope it kind of harvests itself, and I'm just going to sit here on my rear end and not do anything, and maybe some people will come to my farm and buy my corn from me so I don't have to harvest it. Maybe they'll pick it. Is that going to work if you're a farmer? No, that ain't going to work. You got to go out and harvest it, okay, with your labor. Or at the very least, hire others to harvest it and pay them. And then you get your crops and then you sell it, okay? By the way, Kroger's doesn't grow corn inside their Kroger's building. A farmer has to grow that corn. And then they sell it to Kroger's and then we go in Kroger's and buy it. That's a little farming lesson for you. But what the Bible is saying here is when it's time to work, you work. And you do your best, okay? You do your best. You don't just sit there on your rear end and do nothing, okay? When your mom gives you a job, your dad gives you a job, you do it. You do your best, okay? Moving on. Verse 7. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise of heart will receive commandment, the wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. See how the Proverbs contrast the righteous path, the wise path, with the wicked path and the foolish path, okay? This says the wise of heart will receive commandments. If you're a wise person, you'll be receptive to teaching. You'll be listening to your teachers. You'll be ready to learn. You'll say to yourself, I don't know everything I need to know. I'm just a person in elementary school or junior high. I don't know everything yet. Maybe this teacher can teach me something and be ready and willing to listen and learn. Okay? But the fool says, meh, I'm not going to listen. I know everything I need to know right now. I'll be just fine. Well, the Bible says a babbling fool will come to ruin. Okay? Moving on. Let's go to... Now I'm going to save 12 and come back to it. So I'm going to skip all the way down to 19. I'm going to save verse 12. Okay, here's what the Bible says in verse 19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. What in the world does that mean? Listen. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains their lips is prudent. What does this have to do with? Yammering, talking, saying things that aren't necessary, perhaps gossiping or using mean words. You got to watch that. The Bible says right here, if you restrain your lips, you're being prudent, you're being wise. Okay? Think about this before you say something. Okay? Is it nice? Is it going to edify or help somebody? Is it going to encourage them? Or is it going to tear them down and make them feel rotten? Is it even true to begin with? Or are you spreading rumors or lies or false things? Okay? Think before you speak. Has anybody ever heard that? Yeah. Wise old saying, think before you speak. The Bible is telling us, pardon me, the Bible is telling us right there in verse 19, whoever restrains their lips is prudent. Okay? No gossiping, no mean words. We don't need that. Okay? Not spreading rumors or spreading lies. Be prudent about your words. Okay? Verse 20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. Verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. Now, the lips of the righteous feed many, I believe this is, at least in part, talking about teachers and leaders. Okay? Those who are trying to follow God's will and God's path in the wise way, you'd be wise to listen to them, okay? They can feed you knowledge. They can feed you wisdom. They can feed you instruction, okay? Now, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he has no sorrow to it. Okay, now once again, money is not the most important thing in the world, but it's a useful tool. Our pastor likes to say it's like a useful tool. It's like having another tool in your toolbox. You can use it for good purposes, or you can use it for bad purposes. And if God happens to bless you with money, you've got a tool you can use. Maybe you can give some of it to somebody else. Or maybe you can give some of it to your church. Okay? Money isn't necessarily a terrible thing. It's what you do with it. Okay? And if you can, if you're so consumed by it that that's all you want is money, 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 money. Okay? The love of money is the problem. But money itself is a tool. It's just another tool in your toolbox that you can use wisely or you can use foolishly. Okay? Pardon me. I've been battling some sinus trouble. Okay, verse 23. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. Getting back to that idea of consequences. Okay, what the wicked dreads will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. Moving on, verse 25. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. Here's one, verse 26. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. We haven't done 26 yet. But you remember the sluggard? What's the sluggard? It's kind of like the slacker, right? It's the person who's lazy, the person who's not reliable. Okay, so if you send a person to do a job and they're a sluggard, it's going to be like vinegar to your teeth and smoke to your eyes. It's going to give you a bad reaction. It's going to give you a bad experience. When you send a sluggard to do a job and you're counting on them and they end up being a sluggard, that's going to cause a bad reaction because they're not reliable. Now, what's wrong, Isaac? Yeah, yeah. Well, you got to choose wisely. You got to choose wisely. Ask God for wisdom, you know. You guys may have some money. Maybe you earned an allowance, or like I said, you had a job doing something and you get some money. Ask God for wisdom with how to use that money, how to spend it or save it, okay? Always ask God for wisdom. All right, now we're in verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. Once again, these are generally speaking, okay? These aren't if-then kind of proverbs. Like, if I do what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to have a long life. But generally speaking, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. Those who don't follow God's path, those who are foolish, those who pursue folly and destruction and consequences, they live dangerously. Your life may be cut short because of those choices, okay? Through maybe health problems or just maybe reckless behavior is going to get you in trouble. And the Proverbs are here telling you. They're warning you. Warning, warning, warning. Okay? Your years will be cut short, okay, if you pursue the folly, the foolish path. Okay, skipping down to verse 30. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. I believe this has a little bit of implication towards salvation. Okay? Those who have trusted Christ, okay, you have a home in heaven. It can't be taken away from you, your salvation. Okay? But the wicked will not dwell in the land. Okay? The wicked will not have everlasting life. Those who repeatedly reject God, reject Christ, reject wisdom, okay, they don't have a place in heaven, a home in heaven. Now, getting back to verse 12, and we'll wrap up. We're getting back to verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Okay? Love is important, boys and girls. Can you have some love towards another? Can you have some love towards your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, your fellow church members? Okay? If you have love for them, you're going to be more patient with them. Okay? If they do wrong to you, if they offend you, you're going to have some patience and some forgiveness if you genuinely love them, okay? You won't be so quick to put up your dukes and start a fight. You won't be so quick to retaliate or escalate a bad situation. If you have love for others, you'll be patient with them. You'll be forgiving towards them if they were to do something to offend you, okay? That's what the Bible means here. Love covers all offenses, okay? Do you have love in your heart for others? Okay, examine yourself. Examine your attitudes. Examine your behaviors. Are you loving towards others? Or are you just quick to rumble? Okay? Now, I understand if you're like on a football field, yeah, you want to crash into them and stuff like that, or you're a basketball player, or you want to go around fast and whop into him a little bit to get the rebound. But generally speaking here, if you have love for others, you know, you'll be patient towards them. You'll be forgiving towards them. You won't be so quick to retaliate. You won't be so quick, okay, to put up your dukes, all right? So how are you towards others? How are you towards your caregivers, your parents, your aunt, your uncle, your grandma, your grandpa? Are you loving towards them? Okay. Are you forgiving towards them? Anybody remember in the Bible how many times Jesus said we're supposed to forgive others? Anna? 70 times 7. 490 times. Can you be that forgiving towards others? And I don't even really think Jesus was being literal there. He was just saying, always forgive others. Can you be forgiving towards others? Well, the key to that is, do you love them? Do you have genuine compassion and concern for them? Okay? And the way you get that, boys and girls, it's not natural because we are selfish. The way you get that love inside you is from God. Trusting Christ. Okay? Once you trust Jesus, you believe he died on the cross and paid for your sins and was buried and rose for you, your heart changes. You have the Holy Spirit inside you and your priorities change. What's important to you changes. Your attitude towards others changes. Okay? Remember at the beginning of the class, the questions Mr. Dewberry read? Loving others. Okay? Loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind and loving others. Those are the attitudes that the Holy Spirit allows us to have as we emulate and follow Christ as our example. Are you loving God the way you ought to? Are you loving others the way you ought to? If you're not, get those behaviors out that need to be gotten out and add those behaviors in that need to be added in. Okay? So that's just a quick trip through Proverbs chapter 10. We'll stop right now because we're about out of time. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for listening. Okay, but examine your own heart. Examine your own behavior. First of all, have you trusted Christ? Okay? If you haven't, I invite you today. Repent and turn from your sins and trust Jesus today. If you are a Christian and you have trusted Christ, are you living in a Christ-like manner? Are you loving towards others? Are you patient and forgiving and compassionate towards others? Okay? And we adults fight this too. It's an ongoing thing. We have to remind ourselves. Is that word necessary? Are those words nice? Are they even true? Okay? You know, Mr. Dewberry, myself, Brother Isaac, we even adults, we have to constantly be aware of these things. Okay? So thank you for listening. We're going to have a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to break into groups and learn our memory verses. But just look, examine yourself. I'm asking you, examine how you are towards others. Examine yourself. Okay? Are you being loving? Are you being patient? All right, let's have a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson in Proverbs. Lord, I pray that you would bless each boy and girl tonight and their families. Lord, I pray you would save souls and add to our church if it would be your will. Please forgive us of our sins, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.